Shelley Schlender with MeAndMyDiabetes.com. Nutrition Today has just published a new study by University of Minnesota researchers Mary Gannon and Frank Nuttle that challenges the assertion and advertising by Dreamfields Pasta that their pasta does less to raise blood sugars than regular pastas do. In their advertising, Dreamfields states that a serving of their product has only 5 grams of digestible carbohydrate, compared to the roughly 40 or 50 grams of carbs that are in a serving of regular pasta. Dreamfields also states that those carbs become sugar in the bloodstream much more slowly than carbs from traditional pastas do. Gannon and Nuttle have done a controlled, double-blind study of 20 non-diabetics that found no difference between how this low-carb pasta affects blood sugar levels compared to regular pasta. They say they got interested in this topic because they were seeking a low-carb pasta for their diabetic patients who missed the taste of pasta, and they were hoping that the Dreamfields product would be helpful. Instead, their research tests show no difference between Dreamfields' low-carb pasta and other pastas. Here's the interview. Frank Nuttle, what do you think of products that advertise that they are net carb products because they have a lot of fiber in them and you can deduct the fiber from the total carbohydrates? What do you think of that?
I'm not quite sure what the question is. Even though fiber, which can also be referred to as non-starch carbohydrates, is a non-digestible carbohydrate. And so it goes through the small intestine into the colon and is fermented by bacteria. We do not gain any net food value from the fiber.
And yet, I often hear about people who have a weak pancreas and eat a net fiber product where the fiber has been subtracted from the total carbohydrates and their blood sugars go up far higher than you would expect if none of those fibrous carbohydrates were being digested. And there are products such as Dreamfield Pasta, which advertise as being good for people who have a weak pancreas or who have insulin resistance because the total digestible carbohydrates in them is lower thanks to the fiber carbohydrates. And they're marketed this way.
The Dreamfield product contains fiber because of the fiber content. It has been assumed that the digestible carbohydrates in that pasta product will not be digested, and the glucose resulting from the carbohydrate get into the blood. But also, that does get in is going to come in more slowly, and so that it would not raise the blood glucose as much. However, our data indicate that the blood glucose response is basically the same as with traditional pasta, so that there was no net value in regards to lowering the blood glucose in these individuals if they ate one starch versus the other.
My name is Mary Gannon. What I would like to tell you about is a study that has been published in which we looked at the effect of ingestion of Dreamfields pasta compared to a regular pasta in normal individuals. And each subject ingested both types of pasta. The pasta was prepared according to package directions. And we found absolutely no difference in the glucose response in these normal subjects when they ingested either pasta. Both pastas were identical. Glucose response to both pastas were identical.
Now tell me, how much time did you give people between the times that they ate each pasta, and what had they eaten before they ate the pasta?
They were to eat a normal dinner, whatever normal is, the night before, and be fasting for 10 to 12 hours before they came in for the study. The studies were done about 1 week apart. The pasta was ingested as pasta only. The individuals could put salt and pepper on it, but there was no butter, no cheese, nothing, just the pasta, and it was eaten as a breakfast meal.
That does not sound very tasty, but they did eat it nonetheless.
That's correct. They indicated that it would be much better if they had some sort of sauce on it. The other interesting thing was they were not able to distinguish between the pastas. The study was blinded to both us as the investigators and to the individuals volunteering for the study. So the only person who knew which pasta was being prepared was the person from the food service who was cooking the pasta.
Boy, we should be having this interview in a kitchen, eating pasta. Roughly how many grams of carbohydrate were in the regular pasta, according to its package? And how many grams of carbohydrate were in the Dreamfield pasta?
They were calculated to be the identical amount.
It sounds like you put the same number of grams of pasta on each plate for each of these studies.
Yes.
And one of them was a product that was normal pasta and said total carbohydrates, and that's what it was. And the other one was a pasta that has roughly the same total number of carbohydrates, but you're supposed to subtract out the fiber. And so supposedly it has far fewer digestible carbohydrates.
That's what the package advertisement says, or the label on the package indicates that if this amount of pasta will have fewer digestible carbohydrates, and they refer to it as a lower glycemic index. We are not particular fans of the glycemic index concept, but the concept is that that amount of pasta would raise your blood glucose less than that amount of regular pasta.
And when we say they, who are they?
The manufacturers of the Dreamfield pasta, the advertising on the package.
Does the package say that it's lower glycemic carbohydrate, or does it say total digestible carbohydrates lower? Because some of these products say something like net 2 grams fiber on the package.
I do have a package.
One thing I'm seeing on this package that says Dreamfield's Healthy Carb Living, and it says digestible carbs per serving, 5 grams, 65% lower glycemic index, excellent source of fiber, guaranteed great taste. If we turn it around and look at the food fact label, the total amount of carbohydrates listed for a serving of this product are 41 grams. And then it says the dietary fiber is 5 grams, and the soluble fiber is 3 grams, and the insoluble fiber is 2 grams, and the sugar is 1 gram. I'm rather confused by this because I don't see how from 41 total grams of carbohydrate you get down to these low numbers. Can one of you look at this and describe what you're reading there? Just read it to me.
This is amount per serving, total carbohydrate 41 grams, dietary fiber 5 grams, soluble fiber 3 grams, insoluble fiber 2 grams, sugars 1 gram.
I'm already confused, Mary Gannon, because those little numbers you just described don't add up to 41 grams of carbohydrate per serving. Why am I missing something here?
As I understand it, the process by which this is manufactured is a patented process, and it's the process by which this product is manufactured that makes it non-digestible.
Right on the front of this package, it states that there are only 5 grams of digestible carbohydrate per serving, when normally this kind of product would be called a 41-gram product. They are openly saying that they believe it's only 5 grams of digestible carbohydrate per serving. Now, if that's the case, then I would expect that if you fed this pasta to one group of people and you fed regular pasta that's roughly 41 grams probably to another group of people, there would be a very different sugar response to the Dreamfields pasta.
And the way we got involved in this in the first place is because we were very intrigued by this, and we were looking for products that we could incorporate into our low bag diet. And low bag is an acronym for low biologically available glucose diet. We have found that in our type 2 diabetic subjects, those who are still able to produce insulin, have a very good improvement in blood glucose control when they are on a low carbohydrate, low biologically available glucose diet. And so we wanted to incorporate this product into that diet because people were missing carbohydrates.
So you felt that your clients, your patients would be much more compliant if they could have some good tasty pasta that didn't raise their blood sugars.
Yes.
And you heard about this product and you hoped that this would work.
That's exactly right.
Correct.
You didn't have an axe to grind. You had some people to feed.
Yes.
No axe to grind, but people to feed, and you hoped to feed them some pasta. And you were looking forward to this working.
That's right, and we tried on several occasions to contact the company to get their primary data upon which this claim was based. Dr. Nuttall called them several times. Our research dietitian, Heidi Hoover, called them several times. And we were referred to their sales department, I think. We never really did get the primary data upon which this claim is based. That's what we were interested in. So we naively decided, well, we'll just do a quick test on ourselves and see what happens.
You mean that you, Mary Gannon, and you, Dr. Frank Nuttall, both of you scientists and doctors, decided, what the heck, we'll eat some pasta.
Correct.
That's right.
Did you one day eat the Dreamfield pasta, and then another day you ate the regular pasta?
Yes, that's correct. That's what we did. And we were not aware of which pasta we were eating. And I must say that the acceptability of the product by us and others was very good. It was similar to that of standard pasta.
And so for taste, you gave it an A+.
At least an A.
You need a little butter on it and a little sauce.
A little more sauce.
Right. We were allowed salt and pepper, but that's all. Just pasta, salt, and pepper.
And in your case, what did you find when you checked your blood sugars?
The responses to the two products were identical.
Was the timing of when you had the same responses the same, or was it a little bit slower with this lower glycemic index pasta?
The timing was identical. We were very surprised by this, and since this was just a quick study on ourselves, we decided that we had to do a formal study and include more people, of course. We set about to design the study, have it approved by the IRB at our institution here, and go through the formal application process, which we did. We then studied a number of individuals. And the study design was the same. It was a randomized crossover design, blinded. The only person who knew which pasta was being served on which day was the person who was cooking the pasta.
And this was a study of 26 people total?
I believe it was 20 that was published.
Now, you had a study that you had earlier this year that was formally withdrawn. And it got a lot of publicity for the fact that it was formally withdrawn. Do you want to explain the circumstances for that?
The reason that it was withdrawn is because when we did the study on ourselves, we did not have IRB approval because we didn't think we needed it. We naively assumed, I guess, that we didn't need it. We were just eating food and sticking our finger. And we had no intention of publishing it because we wanted to know how great the diminution in glucose response would be with the product.
And you figured that since you're scientists and researchers, it didn't occur to you that you would be expected to have an IRB approval on you.
That's correct. That's no longer true in this day and age, unfortunately.
And so because you included yourselves in the study as part of the study subjects, they said that doesn't fit the rules.
That's right.
Now you've just redone that study where you got IRB approval for every single person in the study. Did the results change this time through or were they the same?
The results were identical as the first time that we did it. So there was no difference between the glucose responses from the two pastas.
Has the Dreamfield Pasta Company contacted you or talked with you about either the previous study that was withdrawn or the current study that you've done?
Yes, the president of the company and the individual who owns the patent on the process came out to talk to us and visit with us.
When did they come out?
A few months ago. I don't recall exactly when.
Was he smiling?
No. The other person that Dr. Gannon is referring to is the gentleman who formulated the Dreamfields product.
Did you invite them to come out, or did they say, we need to talk, and they came out?
They initiated it, and we invited them to come and discuss this with us because we indeed wanted to try to clarify the issue of why our results did not correspond to those that we anticipated based upon the construct of the pasta and the information on the package.
Did they believe you that these were the results that you were getting, or were they skeptical?
That's hard to answer. I'm not sure whether they were skeptical or not, but they were very defensive. They wanted to convince us that their data had indeed shown what they advertised on the package. We sort of get back, I think, to the same issue, and that is we originally wanted to see the primary data upon which this is being publicized as being salutary for people with diabetes in order to be able to eat a pasta product that doesn't raise their blood glucose as much as a traditional pasta.
Dr. Frank Nuttall, with all that you talked about with the Dreamfield Pasta Group, did you hear any possible reason why their data might be different from your data and make sense from a scientific standpoint?
No, I didn't hear anything that would convince us that the product performs the way they have advertised. They wanted to assure us that they had sent this to an institution that does these types of studies and that every batch of Dreamfields pasta produced is tested for its ability to cause less of an increase in blood glucose than one would anticipate and would be compatible with a low glycemic index product.
What is that institution?
We don't know the institution. It's an institution that they described as being in Florida and routinely does these kinds of studies.
Now, Dr. Frank Nuttall, this is very confusing to me because they are standing by the fact that their product works, and they say it works because it's been tested by an institution that validates what the product is, but they won't say who the institution is?
I don't remember whether they did or they did not. We were mostly interested and had anticipated that they were going to bring data with them that would convince us that their product, because of the fiber content and the way the fiber is incorporated into the starch in the pasta, would result in a much lower blood glucose response than with a traditional pasta.
Did anybody from the institution that does their science for them come with them to talk with you about their studies?
No, they did not.
Now, Frank Nuttall and Mary Gannon, you both are scientists. That means you like data, you like information, and you had this conversation where the head people at Dreamfield Pasta came and talked with you, and they referred to science, saying their science was good, and then they wouldn't give you any details about that science?
What they emphasized was that all the batches of the product had been tested, and it was tested on many individuals, hundreds as I recall, rather than the few individuals that we had tested. So the impression that you could be left with was that our data may not be as comprehensive or as valid as theirs because we did not study as many subjects.
How many people did you test for your recent test that just got published?
20.
You tested 20 people. Did their responses vary quite a bit, or was there a general trend that was similar among all those people that you tested?
There was a trend that was similar. When the data are averaged, there is absolutely no difference. But of course, there is a little bit of variation, as you would expect with different people.
There may have been variation with different people, but for each person, was their general response to each product similar? So that the response of person A to Dreamfield pastas and the response of person A to regular pasta was pretty much the same.
Yes, that's correct. It was.
Well, you know, if half of the people had been very different in their responses and half had been very similar, then I might expect that a larger sampling of data would show a lot of variability. But statistically, if pretty much everybody in your group of 20 had similar, identical responses to each kind of pasta, what would you expect in a group of 200 or 2,000 people?
I would expect the data would be even tighter and the glucose response curves would be superimposable. Ours are nearly superimposable with the number of subjects that we tested.
This is like hearing one group of people talking from the moon and one people talking from Mars. It's very different stories from you and from what we're hearing that the Dreamfield Pasta Group say.
We still are very anxious to see the primary data because it's puzzling to us as well. These people are very convinced that their product is an excellent product. They feel that they have scientific data to prove it. I can understand why it's confusing looking at it, but we also think that our data are very defensible, they're very reproducible, and we don't understand what the problem is.
This raises a number of concerns for people who actually are diabetic, who have either the problem called insulin resistance, where their cells have trouble dealing with signals from insulin and dealing with sugar, or people who have a weak pancreas and their pancreas simply does not produce enough insulin. And because you tested regular people who have a stronger pancreas and whose cells are more likely to respond readily to insulin signaling, a person who has a weaker pancreas or has more resistant cells would likely have a more problematic response to these products then. There's a real potential for that.
That's a possibility, and of course we would love to reproduce the study in other groups of people, both people who are glucose intolerant and people with type 2 diabetes, but we just haven't had the resources to do that.
As far as you know, how many studies, independent of the manufacturers, have been done, like the one that you just did with this pasta?
We are not aware of any other studies. We did literature searches, of course, before we submitted our paper for publication and didn't find anything.
Were you just searching on Dreamfield pasta, or were you searching on low glycemic or net carb products?
As I recall, we were searching on low glycemic and anything that we could find in the literature on foods with a direct comparison from one food to another.
You need to understand, we're not familiar with the term net carbohydrate. That's not in our lexicon. What we talk about are digestible and non-digestible carbohydrates.
What I see in magazines or on some products is advertisements like here on the Dreamfield pasta label that say total digestible carbs or net carbs, meaning that when you subtract the fiber carbohydrates from the total carbohydrates, here's what's digestible. It's a huge market right now, and it is advertised in diabetes journals, and it's advertised in low carbohydrate and bodybuilder magazines for how great these products are. And you're telling me that it doesn't look like there's been very much independent research done to test the claims of these products.
We're not familiar with the products. Our goal was to include foods in a diet that we refer to as a low biologically available glucose diet for people with type 2 diabetes who are not receiving insulin. Because if you reduce the digestible or absorbable glucose in the diet in people with type 2 diabetes, we've found that you can rather dramatically lower the 24-hour glucose values in these individuals. And since starches are basically 100% glucose, we were very much interested in a starch product that would not raise the blood glucose, as much as with a typical carbohydrate or starch-containing food because of an impairment in the digestibility of the starch. And we were particularly interested because the sensory values, that is the acceptability of the product, was very good. It was very similar to that of standard pasta. So it would be a highly desirable product for us to include in such a diet.
You were hopeful that this would work.
Absolutely.
You were disappointed when it didn't.
I don't know if we were disappointed. I would say we were surprised and could not understand why it did not perform the way we thought it might perform if we included it in the diets that we've been studying.
I'm thinking about how somebody who needs to watch their sugars might wonder why they're failing to get the results they want.
We would like to have more information from the company in regards to their claims and what we found. And if there is an adequate explanation, we'd certainly like to be able to hear this and potentially accept it if there is an adequate explanation. We can only comment on what we did and what we observed.
Who funded your study, the first one that got withdrawn, and who funded your study, the second one that has now been published?
It has been supported by the Veterans Administration, since we are employees of the Veterans Administration.
All right. I hear you saying that as one of the projects you do as scientists here, you decided to devote your resources through your salaries and your labs to checking out this issue. Did the National Institute of Health help you with funding?
No, they did not.
How about the American Diabetes Association? Did they help you with funding?
They did not. But we did not apply for funding from either of those sources.
I can't help but wonder what magazines that have a lot of advertisement from net carb products would think about this kind of data, what it means for them to be publishing and letting these be advertisers who pay the money when it sounds like there's been no real independent research to indicate whether these products do what they say they do. Until now with your study, which seems to indicate at least one of these products does not work as advertised.
I really don't know how to respond to that. There are so many issues involved.
Frank Nuttall and Mary Gannon are scientists with the University of Minnesota and Minneapolis Veterans Hospital. I'm Shelley Schlender. You can find out more about this topic and more interviews like this at meandmydiabetes.com.